Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, April 9th, 2019, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We are in the chapter, There is a Solution. We're on page 19, the very tippy top. Paragraph 1 is what we're going to unpack today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Denise H., the 12 Traditions, Robin D. Z., reading the text and support, Wendy B., Marissa E., Linda D., and then at the end of the recording, Ramona's going to offer an invitation to newcomers and sponsors, and then Leslie M's going to give an announcement. Let me give you the reference numbers. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting is as follows: 12756, 12756, and that will be for April 8th, 2019. And then this morning we already had a meeting and discussion on this particular paragraph at the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, and that share ID number is 12759, 12759 for April 9th, 2019, Tuesday. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Denise H. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Okay, this is Denise H. Here are the 12 steps as adapted for Overeaters Anonymous. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear, madam.
Okay. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you, Denise H. I will now ask Robin D. Z. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, all. This is Robin D.Z. from South Carolina, the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service. I pass.
Thank you, Robin DZ, for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And please, fellows, this should include pressing star 1 on your phone so it's completely disconnected, whether or not you decide to mute your personal handheld phone or not. So today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter, There is a Solution, on page 19. We're going to unpack paragraph 1 today, and that begins with, none of us makes a sole vocation of this work, and then ends with, can give nearly all their time to the work. And Wendy B. is going to read that paragraph and make her comments. Thank you so much. That will open up our meeting today. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, this is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. So none of us make a sole vocation of this work, nor do we think its effectiveness would be increased if we did. We feel that elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. A much more important demonstration of our principle lies before us in our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. All of us spend much of our spare time in the sort of effort which we are going to describe. A few are fortunate enough to be so situated that they can give nearly all their time to the work. So where it said elimination of our drinking is but a beginning, so I have to have the food down, you know, in order to have a clear head. I have to make my higher power the most important thing in my life instead of food in order to hear his guidance in living out the principles in all my affairs. And I would love to just do program work all day. You know, it's so satisfying to talk with fellows who share my disease, but that's not the circumstances God has me in. You know, right now I'm working full-time trying to work my way out of debt, you know, and I work in a serving profession, And I see God using me and teaching me things through my interactions with my clients and my coworkers. And I see his hand, you know, softening my heart toward my husband, you know, having compassion for his struggles and accepting him just where he's at. You know, where before program, I was critical and judgmental of him. And now I'm a safe place for him to be who he really is, you know, admit his flaws without me pouncing on him and magnifying him. You know, and I have a deep, honest relationship with my daughter now. You know, we share our growth experiences and we're transparent and supportive of each other. And I'm transparent with my grandkids. You know, I apologize to them when I'm wrong, and I love them unconditionally, and I'm setting a good example to all those in my life, you know, to the best of my ability. You know, and I am sponsoring, and there is, you know, so much amazing growth that I get to witness, you know, to be a part of. But because I'm obsessive, you know, and I take everything to the extreme, I have to be careful and not have too much of my time to program, you know, that I have nothing left for my family. And sometimes I find myself listening to too many meetings, you know, and I'm too saturated and I can't absorb anything more. And I have to go and live it out. You know, I have to try to keep balance. You know, sometimes I just have too many affairs. I'm too busy, you know, and I have to really listen to God's guidance, you know, what he wants me to do with my time. You know, and I can get too caught up in being a doer. You know, so I have to prioritize spending time with God so that the things I do are through his power, not through my self-righteous good works, you know. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Wendy B. The lines are now open for others to comment on that paragraph. Paragraph 1, page 19 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. None of us makes a sole vocation of this work. If you'd give me your name and the first initial of your last name, I'd love to write it down.
Linda D. from Wilmington.
Hi, Linda D.
Rebecca T.
Rebecca T.
Shawnee B.
Shawnee B.
Catherine C.
Catherine C. That's our lineup to start out. Thanks so much. We have Rebecca T., Linda D., Shawnee B., and Catherine C. Hi, Rebecca. Now press star one, please.
Are you waiting for Linda B.?
Well, actually, you know what? I think you're right. I had written it down as if I were dyslexic or something, and I believe you were the first one to speak. So, Linda D., you are first, and then
okay.
Rebecca. Hi. Go ahead.
Hi. This is Linda D., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Wilmington, North Carolina, which I say because we have many other Lindas and another Linda D., to whom I say hello. None of us makes a sole vocation of this work, nor do we think its effectiveness would be increased if we did. That's interesting. We don't think, Bill doesn't think in this book, that our effectiveness would be increased if we made a sole vocation of the work. And that's because a more important demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. It doesn't say that we should make it a sole vocation. We feel that elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. Of course, as a newcomer short years ago, that's what I thought. I thought it was not just the beginning, but the ending. It turns out it's a side effect, that the weight loss is a side effect. Elimination of putting down the food is a beginning. All of us spend much more of our spare time in the sort of effort which we are going to describe, so this paragraph tells me to keep my ears and eyes open for descriptions of the kind of effort to make. And if you are fortunate enough to be so situated that they can give nearly all their time to the work, and I've met some of these people, I've had the good fortune to meet some of these people who have retired or have situations where they can give most of their time to the work. Homes, occupations, and affairs. So that's where I need to be putting my effort, as well as into program. And I want to say that In the beginning, I felt, well, what service can I really do? Doing service in this program takes a lot of forms, and I had to be taught this, and I want to say this for to remind old-timers and also newcomers that how do I carry the message? You know, I owe a debt of gratitude. If I can't give away what I haven't got, and I'm a beginner, or even if I'm not, if I've eaten recently, what can I do? There's so many ways of giving service. Staying abstinent does service. Just attending a meeting because that fills it up. Telling my story, no matter what stage I'm at. Making a phone call, whether or not I have something to share that I think has depth and weight, because you never know what might be waiting on the other end. Someone may just really need to talk to someone. And the number of times that I've found someone who had the experience I needed to hear just so happened to have that. So important. Hold on one second. Recovering, recovering, and recovering, that's doing service. Sharing anything I have on my mind with a recovered person, they're waiting for us to call them. They can't keep it unless we give it away. Doing service on a meeting, just reading something, or just coming to the meeting. So there's plenty for us to do no matter what stage we're at. And I'm going to wrap up with that. Thank you for letting me share, and thank you for all your service.
Thank you, Linda D. Rebecca T., you're up next, and then Shawnee B. will come after you.
Hey, guys. It's Rebecca T., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater one day at a time, Bakersfield, California. What this passage tells me is some words come up, and it's balance, discernment, honesty, and pausing, because... like all of you fellows gave really good examples of, is that, with a busy life that I can't be in service 24 hours a day in terms of maybe physical service or in a position. But it also teaches me to know how much to put in and, you know, am I being authentic? You know, is it about just getting a bunch of tasks done and not being able to kind of feel what I'm doing or know what the intention is, or making sure that it is connected to my higher power the entire way, and then my purpose. And so that's what the program has taught me, that because I have the minute to minute reflection, the day to day, what is His will for me today, and how is that going to look? The beauty is that it can show itself in different forms, and so whether it's actually being a specific service position, or it's just being a good role model today. You know, am I someone that someone else would want to hang around? Am I displaying traits that would possibly help someone else out, or maybe feel comfortable enough to come talk to share? and that's what I see now. I didn't see that before. In my previous quote, recovered life, I would have said that I had... probably 90% of quote service positions to others, but I had a wall around me, and I couldn't feel. I was just a doer. So with that, I will pass. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks so much, Rebecca. And so we're looking at Shawnee B. now, and then after Shawnee will come Catherine C.
Hi, this is Shawnee B. I'm recovered for today, and I'm grateful to be on this line, and thank you to everyone for being here and allowing me to do service. So I just kind of noticed this line that I was like, oh my God, that is like so my experience. The line of that we feel that illumination of our drinking is but the beginning. So coming into program, it was just about the food. And I've only been in recovery, I mean, not only, for me, it seems like an eternity. I've been in recovery for a year now, and I just have come to see how putting down food was just truly the beginning. It almost makes me think, you know, when I speak to sponsees and, you know, we read the 9-step promises and then the 10-step promises, and there's so many promises, but the recovery process, once we put down the food, it's just the beginning of really uncovering so much that we have been covering with food. Recovery has been a very, very hard process. I think being in the food was not empowering and was miserable. Recovery is empowering, but very painful. There's a lot of pain. And I think that these promises, they come in, you know, small, like I just thought it was going to be like this, like, oh, you know, like, just like very dramatic. It just hasn't been that experience for me. And so when I see that line about putting down the food is just the beginning, it's truly just the beginning of working through so much, you know, so much pain within life, within circumstances, within relationships. And so I am grateful for this experience. But I really appreciate that line because I just, so often I'm on the line and I'm hearing people, oh, this happened for me, blah, blah, blah. And I think recovery is so incredible, but there's also just so much of it that I didn't know was going to be there and so much healing. And healing takes a lot of work. So just seeing that this idea that, you know, this is just the first step, putting down the food is just the beginning. And, you know, I thought putting down the food, you know, I did not think I could survive without the food. And I look at myself every day and some days I'm like, I don't think I can survive this relationship. I don't think I can survive this circumstance. And so I'm truly blessed that my higher power took me through, you know, becoming abstinent and then allows me to every day reach, you know, levels of emotional sobriety that I never thought I could reach. With that being said, you know, it really is a process that takes a lot of courage. So thank you for letting me share my thoughts.
Thank you, Shawnee B. And before we invite Catherine C. to come and share her 3 minutes, I wanted to remind people that we'll open up the line again for others to comment. On page 19 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the chapter there is a solution. We are unpacking paragraph 1. None of us makes the sole vocation of this work, just that paragraph only. Catherine C., it's your turn. Thanks so much.
Hi, everyone. My name is Catherine C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Virginia. And I mean, the first thing that sticks out is it is but a beginning. And I remember being in the disease and a close family member telling me, you know, I don't care if you're overweight. I don't care. But your behavior, your isolation, the burden of this food thing that you have is too much. I don't care about that. And that really hit me that no one around me really cares about my weight. Only I do. They care about my behavior. And really the next line, and the previous speakers really highlighted it too, is that none of us make a sole vocation of this work, nor do we think its effectiveness would be increased if we did. And I feel that the longer I'm in this program, the more I get out there in life, the more I participate in life and get out there and be a part of, instead of how I was in my disease of isolation, more is revealed. I remember my first 60 days, I hardly got out there. I stayed in my little bubble and I thought everything was fine. But the more I put myself out there and interacted with people, the more I saw my character defects pop up. And then I became more effective because I was able to do the work around those. And it makes me very uncomfortable, but it is so worth it. And God is just revealing more and more of where he wants me to grow and change and be more like him. And I'm just very grateful that the goal of this process is not abstinence or how skinny I am, but the goal is the journey. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Catherine C. The lines are now open for additional folks to comment on that paragraph. Paragraph 1, page 19.
Kara L.
Lisa J.R.
Lisa J.R.
Reggie O.
Julie E.B.
Mag C.
Mags.
Yes.
C? Okay, let's go with that many and see what happens with our list as the time burns away here. So, Kara, we'll start with you, Kara L., and then Lisa J.R., Reggie O., Julie E.B., and Mags. Hi, Kara.
Good morning. My name is Kara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Long Beach, California. Thank you, everybody who gives service at this meeting. I really appreciate you being there for us. Great reading this morning, and I, too, like I've been hearing from everyone else, really struck with the, it's how we are in our life. It's our behaviors, it's interacting, because, you know, in the past, I have put the food down, but I never worked on my character defects. I never turned everything over to my higher power's will. And the amount that I'm able to turn things over to my higher power and get that freedom from self-will. And I'm starting, the more I work this program, the more I study the big book, I'm starting to see, I used to say, oh, self-will are all the negative things I do in my life. But it has nothing to do with positive or negative. It's just everything I decide, everything I think is a good idea. And the more I study this book and the more I work with others and the more that I listen, I hear that it's not that. It's just, I don't get to make the decisions anymore. You know, I have a very limited power. My willpower is a battery, and it's done run out. And how am I going to charge that battery? I'm going to plug into my higher power. I'm going to plug into the wall, and I'm going to get unlimited power. And that's what steps gave me. That working with steps gave me that unlimited power so that I could be of service, so that I can be kinder to my husband and a wonderful mom and a trustworthy friend and a solid employee. You know, that's what working with steps gave me. The food that I always focused on the food. If I could just stop eating, if I could just lose weight, if I could just, if I, right? And I used up all of my power trying to make things happen that I just couldn't make happen by myself. And these steps in this book, and my fellows along the way, have given me this opportunity to grow as a human, to make mistakes and make amends, to walk in my life listening to my higher power and doing the best together that we can. So I'm ever so grateful for Vision. I'm ever so grateful for Overeaters Anonymous. And I'm ever so grateful for everybody on the line. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Kara L. Lisa J.R., you're next, and then Reggie will come in after you.
Good morning, everybody. Lisa J.R. here from Baltimore, Maryland. Very gratefully recovered by God's grace for today. Really can't get past that opening statement this morning. You know, praise God that the writers and editors of this book were anointed with a special amount of wisdom, because that sentence, you know, none of us makes a sole vocation of this work. If I were to do that, I know that I would be in a very unhealthy cocoon of recovery. I would be it would do a number on my ego, number one. And secondly, if I'm not out in the trenches working on my job with people who pluck my ever-loving nerves at times, with my husband and family situations, you know, I'm not going to work this program, those 10, 11, and 12, I'm not going to work it as vigorously, or the 10 and 11, the review. I won't have as much material, and therefore I won't be as relatable to the newcomer. You know, we work this program every day, as Harlan says, like our hair's on fire, if we're going to remain healthy, and more is revealed. You know, I saw that once I put that plug in the jug, wow, stuff just started happening. I started to see things with clarity. And Bill himself wrote in The Grapevine, his last article, about emotional sobriety being the next frontier. And that's something I'm working on now. Abstinence isn't enough. We have to work this thing every day. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Lisa J.R. Reggie O., you are up. Julie E.B. will follow you.
Oh, good morning. Thank you, Melanie, and thanks for your service. And good morning, everybody. This is Reggie O., very gratefully recovered living in Woodland Hills, but up north in the state, in the most beautiful area, which is such a gift and a gift of recovery. And right now, and you know that elimination of our drinking is but a beginning, but it is the beginning. You know, that's something that's, I think, really honed in here, you know, in this program is, yeah, step one, you know, powerless over compulsive overeating. And, you know, for me, it really all starts from there, that elimination of that. Then I can move forward and start, you know, have this channel cleared that is me in whatever way, so that I can actually embody all of the principles in each of the steps while doing that work, while correcting relationships and correcting my thinking and, you know, growing and expanding in ways that I can be of service wherever I go. And, you know, I think that's been the even here, you know, being here where I am, I'm here with a very dear friend from back on the East Coast. We're living, you know, very, very intimately in this beautiful space. And, you know, practicing these principles, demonstrating and, you know, and home and personal relationships and work, et cetera. It's like, it's, there are things to be demonstrated here, you know, because we've never lived alone. I mean, never lived together before, really. So we have to talk things over and, you know, and but, you know, I guess what I want to say is maybe underneath all of this practicing and all of our affairs, is I run into people every day, you know. They're the people at the main house. There's the young man behind the counter that, you know, we purchased some things from last night. And it is about how I am with each and every person in my life, you know. How do I show up? And I certainly used to live as the me, you know. And it's amazing to me how much more I naturally live and desire to live in the we today, as we talk about so much in the early part of this book. And that, you know, it's just such a blessing, because when I think about the we in a healthy way, you know, in a recovered way, having working these steps, the me gets taken care of because I'm taking care of the me. You know, I'm working the principles. I'm in the community. I'm doing the 10 steps. I'm, you know, keeping the channel clear. So, and I'm taking care of the we. It's just amazing to me, and I love what the reader shared today. Is that, you know, she said, I'm a safe space, you know, when she was talking about her husband. And that really struck me, because I believe I am today a safe space for, you know, most anyone that I come in contact with. And this is a good reminder that I want to be that safe space, you know, and carry this message of love and goodwill and, you know, all of the principles that we learn in each and every step, each and every place I go. And it's, boy, it's like waking up. You know, this is who I'm meant to be. I'm meant to live this way. And so just very grateful and love everything. I'm, you know, always everything that I hear on the phone, and appreciate everyone who's here. Thank you. And I'll pass.
Hi. Thanks so much, Reggie. Appreciate that very much. So the next one's Julie E.B., and then Mags will come.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered. So grateful to everyone who's doing service on the meeting, leading the meeting, and participating and being and listening. What a blessing. I mean, this paragraph really describes, you know, I used to make a soul vocation, a soul calling, used to be, quote unquote, this work. My work used to be either numbing out my feelings because what I felt is my intolerable situation, and in the food, that was my sole vocation. I would do anything, put it ahead of everything else as my calling. Or I'd go into my anorexic or compulsive exercise dieting mode. And that would be my sole vocation. And anyone who got in the way or ate some food I was planning to eat, or a waiter that disturbed me, you know, that was my sole vocation. It was all the world. And I was stark raving abstinent because I didn't know about these steps. And so to say now that it doesn't need to be my sole vocation, but that it's such a blessing that I can spend my spare time in this sort of effort. I have so much time left because I'm not in the food. I'm not spinning all the time. You know, I woke up today in my As I do some mornings, restless, irritable, and discontent, I got reached out and God made a connection that was beyond my wildest dreams for me, and someone that was just the connection that I needed to make to let go and clear the decks for my higher power and the sunlight of the spirit. But I do love that this says it's but a beginning. And if you trace through this book, if you get into this book, make a call, get a sponsor, and start reading, you will see so many words where it says this is just a beginning. The elimination of drinking was my purpose. My goal weight was my end. I had to be so careful when I got to my goal weight in this program not to think I was done. I always wanted to be done. I always wanted things behind me and to accomplish things. But now I live a life where every day is just a beginning. And the elimination of my drinking, putting down my food, that's a beginning that clears the way for me to get into my character defects, not to make the soul effort my self-improvement program. You can turn steps 4 through 9 into a self-improvement program, but no, it's allowing my higher power to remove these defects of character as I'm willing to look at them. This is just the beginning. So I'm glad you guys are beginning the day with me, or beginning whatever you're beginning right now, and that we're together. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Meg C., you're next, and then we'll open it up again for folks to share on paragraph 1, page 19 in the big book. Hi, Megs.
Hi, guys. This is Mag C. from Colorado, and this is wonderful to hear this morning, and I'm actually going to be late to work because of this, but actually I'm volunteering, and as I've said in the past, I'm recovering from about 5 surgeries last year, and I'm getting better enough to feel, physically better enough to feel that maybe it's time to return to work, right? But I think the thing is, I mean, we all come into this program, right, from different pathways. I also think it's all about finding a balance, especially for me, finding a balance between what I'm compulsive about and what I'm obsessed about, which is numbing me from any of my highly charged drama and emotional feelings. And what is the right thing to do? What is the right way to do it? God, what's my right appearance? What's healthy? What's not healthy? What's enough giving to others, and what's enough giving to self? And I got to tell you, because of this program, because of the 12 steps, really, I'm healthy enough to realize that I am not healthy enough to take on work again. And I think that's what he's, you know, what the 100 guys that wrote this is trying to say. It's a much more important demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. I mean, I know in the past, because of my food addiction that and my obsession and compulsiveness, that it wasn't very healthy the way I handled some things. To the point of where I was just emotionally so drained, I couldn't give anymore. What I'm finding now that I don't have a huge chunk of my time taken up by work is that I'm able to devote a lot more emotional time to this program, and to see myself as a solid, stable, like I can get up the next morning and stand on 2 feet. Or I can realize when I overdo it, and I can't. And so, I mean, that's a big deal. That's a huge deal. And it's taken a lot for this life to teach me that. And so, and I know that I'm not exactly there yet. And just to have that realization is a huge difference for me. And I'm going to live that truth today. So thanks, guys. Thanks for being on the line. Thanks for being a friend. And thanks for listening. That's all I got. I'll pass.
Thank you, Meg C. The lines are open for at least 3 additional folks to comment on paragraph 1, page 19. Please give your name and the first initial of your last name, please.
Anna A.
B.
Anna A. Somebody B.
Kathy Jo P.
Donna.
Carrie K. B.
And I got Kathy Joe. Sherry, I heard you, but
Sherry,
we'll see if
let
we
Sherry jump in, and I'll
I'll step out, Mel.
You want to switch a route? Okay. All right. So we're going to go with Sherry KB. Kathy Jo acquiesced for you to be able to share. So we're going to keep you in there, Sherry KB. So what it looks like I have is Anna B, Donna B, and Sherry KB. So hi, Anna. You're up.
Good morning. When they're talking about none of us make this a supplication of this work, and the effects wouldn't necessarily increase, I really think he was talking about just living our lives, that we do our program and do it right and do what we need to do, but we take our dog out for a walk. We, you know, pet our cat. We enjoy a game, you know, with somebody. We go to a movie. Just these normal things. He didn't want it to be like where we're just eating and, well, pardon the expression, but eating and breathing and drinking it 24 hours a day, because if we do, we're not living life. So I think it was, he's trying to convey, what I'm getting is trying to convey that it's not going to make you any better. You know, you just might be in a little cocoon, you know, if you do that, but what's going to do it is living your life, facing things you don't want to face at times, and doing the work and doing things you don't want to do in life outside of the program. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Anna B. Donna B., it's your turn.
Hi, this is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. Thank you all for your service and the shares that I've heard this morning. When I look at the end of Into Action, where I'm living in step 11, there's so many phrases here that give me direction to constantly seek God's inspiration, intuitive thought, direction, decision of what I should actually be and what I should actually do next. I'll read that a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will, and are careful to make no requests for ourselves only. And this is really relevant for me as a parent of young children. And recently, I've removed myself from some social media platforms that I used to use as tools to stay connected with the fellowship. And my children noticed. They've noticed that I spend a lot less time on the phone. They've noticed that my phone is emitting many fewer sounds from all these different platforms, and they appreciate it. They have asked me explicitly, we really need you to listen to us. We need for you to be here. And when I was in my disease, it was very difficult for me to stay present. I was distracted not only by the food and the obsession with weight and eating and exercise, but also distracted with my strategies to avoid being present. That was part of what I wanted to do, was to avoid the present moment. And for me, the largest demonstration, the most important demonstration of these principles in my life, outside of working with others, is with my husband and my children. That's the most challenging place for me to be consistently present. And I constantly ask God to direct my thinking, to constantly relieve me of my fear and ask God to show me what He would have me be. I'm really grateful for the direction in the Big Book that afford me the opportunity to be
time.
A part of. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Donna B.
Sherry KB, you're up for your three.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. And thanks so much for your service, Melanie, as always, and everyone on the line. I'm just going to jump right in here, and hopefully I can split this with Kathy Jo. We've been talking about our elimination is just the beginning, because it is just about putting the food down. It's just the ticket in the door to the great ride of the 12 steps and to get unblocked, to get connected to our higher power. But also what it says here is more important is the demonstration, the principles that we live in. And what this reminds me of is on page 83 when it talks about that, you know, that this is a spiritual life we're living. It's not a theory. So I know that the more I do this work, the better it gets, my life gets. Even with all the stuff going on in my life, the way I've learned to handle it through the help of a higher power and through the 12 steps and through living in 10, 11, and 12 has changed my life dramatically. And it can only get better, and I'm just so grateful for it. It blows my mind when I see things the way that I've behaved in the past and things come back up again and how I handle them differently. And I know that if I'm in trouble at all, any time, I always turn to my higher power, because I was taught when I went through this book that full reliance is on my higher power. I get support from my fellows, from my step guide, whoever, but my full reliance needs to be on my higher power. And through working and living a spiritual life, it changed me dramatically. And I heard something really neat over the weekend, is that, you know, my ego is not my amigo. and it's not. That's part of my disease. And when I let my higher power show me what's the next right thought, the next right action, and I ask for that every day. And, you know, I thought, and it was just the beginning, because with the food, it was just the beginning, but I lived so much of my life around it that I thought that was it. And there's so far much more to this program if you let it work you the way it's supposed to work you. And thank God for God. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Kathy Jo P., do you want to step in there? Looks like there's time.
I'm here, Melanie. Thank you so much, Sherry
You're
KB
welcome.
And all. Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. I'm going to start off with that I talked to a fellow a few days ago in regards to a 10-step, and in that conversation, he told me that he once heard, for every year of sobriety that we have, we gain a one-second pause. And that was very delightful for me to hear, because I have called some of you on the line and asked, will I ever learn to pause? And I keep being told, yes, I will. And I'm coming up on 3 years here, and I do believe I have maybe the 2.5-second pause most days, not all days. And that's why I am so grateful for this program and the transformation that continues to help happen as I work these steps. And I'm reminding myself that I do not call you all when I need you. I call you all when I need God. And all of you continue to help me come back to God. My mother-in-law died 8 days ago. It's still very, very fresh. And because of the promises of this program, she died with me having no loose ends, no hurts to heal. We were at peace with each other, and this is an absolute, absolute miracle. And like others have said today, I came here to lose the weight, and yes, I've released over 100 pounds, but these relationships are the biggest promises of this program. And I just am so grateful today that I can show up in these very difficult situations, being with family in the past week, not being explosive. I'm not showing up perfectly, but I never left family functions without having some kind of explosion. And God is good. And I thank you all
for being here with me, trudging along. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kathy Jo P. And with her share, that marks the end of the recorded portion of our discussion with this paragraph on page 19. Thank you to all that shared today. So as we begin to close out the recorded portion, please be reminded that we're going to stay on for another 10 minutes to greet newcomers, get sponsor contact information, and bring you some announcements for what's happening here, the vision for you. So please, Marissa E. read from page 164, our book is meant to be suggestive only, and then the rest after that would share in saying the Serenity Prayer together. Marissa E., please, good morning.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, my fellows. This is Marissa E., recovered outside Los Angeles. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.